America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Which side of America did you wake up on this beautiful Tuesday morning? The one that proclaims you love life and are ready to meet its challenges and blessings? Or the side of the nation that says, I was born in America, and because of that, I am owed free health care, housing, food, and party money. I'm Lair Adams for the American Adversaries at Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And you tell me, which side of the bed true Americans wake up on? See, I'm afraid the others never truly wake up at all. One thing we know is you're awake, and you are the best radio audience on this planet. And we know what you like to listen to. Our host, Christopher Hart.
Oh, thank you so very, very much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, once again for being with us. And what we owe around here is, folks, we owe you a good show. And so we try to put that together every day, and we certainly hope you enjoy tonight's show. And don't forget, you are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660. And we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcast Studios in beautiful Altamont Springs, Florida. Don't forget, folks, for the best in mercury-free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. They will treat you with kid gloves over there, and it's holistic dentistry. 407-678-3399 is that number. As I said, we got a big show lined up for you tonight. We got a little follow-up action from something we talked about last night. Grant Malloy is going to come on here in just a couple of minutes and give us an update on that Seminole County Commission vote today amongst the commissioners about whether to pursue or not this 1 cent increase in the Seminole County sales tax. We also have Christine Harbin Hansen, our great friend from Americans for Prosperity, to come on. And now that the farm bill is signed, done deal, we're going to find out what is all in it. Maybe there may be some good things in it, but anyway, we'll find out as much as we can from Christine. Nostradamus is going to join us. He's going to give us an update on a House vote. I'm going to talk a little bit about this after we talk to Grant. The Republicans in the House have backed away from any threats of challenging President Obama on the debt ceiling and are prepared, as a matter of fact, are working right now as we speak to get a quote-unquote clean debt ceiling. In other words, just raise the debt ceiling, no strings attached for the president. Good through March 2015 is my understanding. We'll find out more from Nostradamus later on. And they want to get it passed tonight so they can get out of town ahead of the next snowstorm, which is rolling in up there. So we've got that to talk about too. But I want to start off by saying, ladies and gentlemen, you know, just the other day we had our great friends Ed and Mary Ganster in here. And they have a wonderful organization called Operation Safety 91, OS 91. And what they do is they provide to first responders of all natures, Psalm 91 on a card that they can carry with them. And this isn't just something to make their wallet a little bit heavier. They believe, and they have many testimonials to the to this end, that these cards go do a little bit more than providing a printed word for the deputy or whoever, that they actually somehow provide, if you will, a bit of protection. But obviously they can't protect everybody in every circumstance. And this morning we lost one of our finest here in Central Florida, Orange County Deputy Scott Pine. Evidently was killed last night responding to a car burglary. It's my understanding that the perpetrator shot him and then ran off and evidently killed himself. But our hearts go out, obviously, to the family of Scott Pine.
Three children.
Three young children. He was a young man himself, just starting out really in life. A
couple years on the force.
Yeah, just starting out really in life. And this is what OS 91 is all about. Please, if you can, go to OS91.com tonight if you would like to post something up about Deputy Pine. This is why they hold the banquet, which is going to be 2 weeks from Friday every year, to honor not only those who are out there still serving, but, if you will, in particular, those who lost their lives in that previous year. And last year, it was a low. They were celebrating a low, another new low. So this is obviously a tragic way to lead into their banquet, but this is what they are all about. Deputy Scott Pine and Nostra Dennis will give us an update on any latest news about that. But before we move on, I want to go to Grant Malloy for a minute or two. Grant, thanks for being with us tonight. What happened in Seminole County this afternoon?
Hey, Chris, first of all, I wanted to let you know that, you know, this was not covered in the paper that I know of.
I didn't see it. I scanned the newspaper yesterday and today. Did not see one lick of a mention of it.
They were supposed to carry a column I was writing, and it didn't appear. You and Channel 9 were the only people that were covering this issue, and I was surprised there were about 36 people there in opposition to the tax today. A lot of people speaking against it, and this is at a 1:30 meeting up in Sanford by the lake up there, so it's hard to get to.
And that's actually, I've been to some of those meetings back in my old college days. It's been a while, but to get that many people on a Tuesday afternoon to speak out on an issue in Seminole County, that seems like a lot.
Right, and there were a lot of people I didn't know speaking against it. And I tell you, there were a lot of good arguments against this tax increase. There are so many reasons not to go forward on this. It's wasting $523,000 to hold a special election in May. The commissioner said a lot of things that just were not true. Even the Channel 9 reporter, you know, agreed to that. She said, no, that's not true. They're saying this is for the schools. The schools did not request this tax, but their political poll showed it would pass if there is a tax, and there are no details to it. One of the commissioners said after they voted for it, Commissioner Constantine said, well, we'll put out a list of projects that you can look at. So even at the meeting, this is a $631 million tax. They're going to fast forward this and waste a lot of money to do the vote in 2 months or so. There's no details. And their biggest, issue is schools, which they just got a property tax in November and didn't request it. So it smells very fishy. And the vote was 5-0, all Republicans, supposedly, to push this tax forward. Yeah. So it did pass today. It was kind of sad in a way because there was really nobody championing this. A lot of people took time out of their day to get down there and say, hey, you know, these are tough times. We don't need any more money. And by the way, we don't need more taxes. And bear in mind, this is the same commission that voted to spend $2 million of our dollars on a soccer stadium in Orlando, not even in the county.
Yeah.
So what I've noticed is when politicians waste money, their solution is to raise taxes.
Yeah. By the way, Grant, we have got the phone number you gave us yesterday for the county. It was the chairman, 665-7215. 407-665. We're going to contact them and try to get them on the show and see if they want to tell us what they're up to. I'll be honest, I'm not going to hold my breath, but we will reach out to them. We've reached out to people like this in the past. They seem to be a little reluctant. We're not going to beat them up. We'll be polite to them, but we simply want to know what's going on. Great work again, Grant. We really appreciate you, and we'll count on you to keep us up to date on this issue as it rolls forward.
Grant, does this sound a little bit to you almost like Nancy Pelosi?
That's exactly what I thought of, because one of the commission, I mean, like I said, they said, well, we'll put out details later. It's almost like Nancy Pelosi, oh, we'll pass this bill and you can see what's in it. That's exactly what happened today. There was a lot of gobbledygook speak about this being fair, about if you don't pass this, your services will suffer. You would have not thought you're sitting in a commission chamber of people when they all ran said they were conservatives. They used all those cliches about, you know, the world will end if you don't raise taxes. And like I said before, the biggest part of the tax was not even requested. Yeah. And there's a lot of other problems with it as well.
Maybe they start. Maybe they better start holding those meetings in the morning so people don't lose their lunch all over the seating in there. But once again, great work, Grant. And as I said, we'll look forward to you keeping us up to date on this issue as we roll forward.
Okay, and if people can get the word out, May 20th, vote no on this massive sales tax increase. It's a 16% increase in your sales tax rate.
All right. All right, thanks a lot, Grant.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back.
Well, I was rolling down the road.
Oh! Hey, folks, I'm WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And if you really want to find out what's going on in America, check out the American Adversaries. Tough guy. Oh!
And away we go. That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries and Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios, the best in mercury free dentistry. Call Dr. James E. Hardy.
Get the mercury out of your mouth.
Get it out of there. It's poison. 407-678-3399 is his number. We just heard Hacksaw on that little bump. Tomorrow, we're going to have B. Brian Blair, another wrestling champion, in the studio with us. So we're going to be on our best behavior, that's for sure.
We need to find out if he has mercury fillings.
Well, I'm not going to be the one that yanks him out of his mouth. I'll tell you that right now. He's a big boy. Okay, welcome back, folks. As I said, we're going to go now to our guest who's been on our show before. She's very informative. I always enjoy talking with her. She has all the answers to the questions that we pose. And she's with Americans for Prosperity. Of course, I'm talking about Christine Harbin Hansen. Welcome back to the show this afternoon, Christine. How have you been?
Hey, guys. I've been great. Thanks for having me back.
It's always a pleasure, indeed. Are you in Washington, D.C. tonight? Are you getting ready for the snow coming in?
Yeah, I hear we have a lot coming our way.
Yeah, well, it looks like Congress is heading the other way. They're trying to get out of town as quick as they can. Before we go, the main reason I have you on today is about the farm bill, but have you been following what's going on today on Capitol Hill with them trying to raise the debt ceiling?
Yeah, actually, I was at a meeting on the Senate side earlier, and it's really interesting to follow because the details keep changing. Right now, I think what we're looking at is a clean debt ceiling increase. The House is going to vote on it tonight, and the Senate shortly tomorrow.
Yeah, all last week I kept seeing newspaper articles about the Republicans were kicking around which things, not if, but which things they were going to tie to this debt ceiling debate in order to try to get some concessions out of Barack Obama. As recently as this morning, no sooner had I gotten my Wall Street Journal out of its nice little plastic wrapper there, and I'm watching CNBC, and they're scrolling on the screen about the House having a clean bill. And here in today's Wall Street Journal, they're talking once again. House Republican leaders tried Monday to build support for raising the federal debt limit by linking it to a reversal of planned cuts in some military pensions. What happened?
Right. Well, I think something happened during the member meeting for House Republicans yesterday. That started, I think, it was yesterday evening, starting at 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had a lot of really careful conversations. Like, if you look at, from the perspective of a House Republican, none of them wants to vote for this. So that's why they're looking for some concessions. Unfortunately, the political climate right now is very dissimilar than what it's been in the past, and that's why we're looking at a clean increase right now.
When you say political climate, you mean members of Congress just aren't aching for a fight right now?
I would say the opposite, honestly, in my political calculation. I think there really isn't much to fight about. Certainly you can make the case that raising the debt ceiling is something where conservatives in Congress have some leverage on it. But right now, we're not in the situation that we were, back in 2010 with the, Budget Control Act. I think there's very little appetite from people across the aisle to have some kinds of conservative priorities attached with raising the debt ceiling.
Are they just trying to get this out of the way so they can get on with the business of the election?
That may be it. I mean, I can't read into their minds, but I know that there are a lot of other things that they'd rather be working on.
Okay.
Larry Adams here. I was just going to ask you, are they just stalling? It seems like everybody's in kind of a waning mode right now. I mean, they want to get something like this done real fast and get out of the way, but really anything important, they're kind of, eh.
You're right. That's kind of the sense I'm getting as well. And really, we've heard from the Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew, that we're not going to hit the debt ceiling until later this month, probably around the 27th.
Around the end, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a number of things that the Treasury can do, you know, some extraordinary measures in the short term. But there's very few legislative days in between that time and right now. Congress is, you know, they're in session right now, but they're leaving town on Wednesday. Worried about this issue, you'd think that they would stick around town a little bit longer.
Yeah, they may actually be getting out of town tonight because of the snowstorm that's heading your way. Well, Christine, let's talk about something else. Obviously, you know, they've decided to, at least for right now, smoke the peace pipe, as it were, and just get this out of the way so that they can move on to whatever else it is they have priorities. They also kind of did that with the farm bill. That kind of came together pretty quickly, and it's now obviously a done deal. The president signed it pretty much by himself on Friday, but it is new law. Is it a good deal?
Oh, it's a very bad deal. There's so many problems with it. Americans for Prosperity is strongly concerned with the details of the farm bill conference report that President Obama signed on Friday. In short, it's the spending levels are way too high. This is a $1 trillion spending bill.
Over 10 years.
Yeah, $1 trillion over 10 years on broken farm bill programs. It also fails to include any free market reforms to food stamp programs or to corporate welfare farm programs.
Yeah, it's all pork.
It's a pork bill, really, is what it is.
Well, now, if some sort of supporters say that it does end direct payments to farm, and obviously that's something that Americans for Prosperity is all about, ending those payments. But as they took away with one hand, they kind of gave back with another, didn't they?
That's exactly what happened. Yes, Americans for Prosperity has long been a supporter of eliminating the widely criticized direct payment program, which really just pays farmers not to farm.
And let me just add that you are against subsidies for any industry or any business.
Certainly, yeah. Americans for Prosperity opposes picking winners and losers in the economy.
Right, whether it be energy, farms, whatever.
Exactly. The free market approach is to let people in the industry and consumers operate in the market on their own merits. Without the hand of government, giving subsidies or picking losers.
Well,
so that's really the issue that we're facing here with this farm bill.
But they, as you said, you were starting to say anyway when I sort of interrupted you, is that they took away with one hand and gave back with the other.
That's exactly what happened. And we see, although this conference report does not include direct payments, it does include a number of other programs that cost even more and end up doing the same thing. The conference report includes this shallow loss program that will spend more than twice as much. Direct payments are always around $5 billion a year. The shallow loss program is a revenue guarantee program that will cost about $12 billion a year.
Christine, the proponents of the original House bill, it had $40 billion worth of food stamp cuts in it. They ended up, the Senate bill evidently had less. They ended up evidently with $8 billion of cuts. And it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this $8 billion is supposed to represent what they think is the amount of fraud in the program. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a good way to characterize it, actually. This $8 billion is over the next decade, and what it is, it's reducing this loophole that states use to sweep even more people onto the program. The way that this program, to really understand it, is to go back to how this program is run. It's a federal program, but it's administered by the states. So they have really every incentive to take away asset tests and sweep people more people onto the program in order to secure more federal dollars. This cut that we saw in the conference report is very minor. It does not go far enough. Americans for Prosperity has long been calling for eliminating this loophole entirely, not just restricting it to this one particular program.
Lair has a question, but let me just make clear from our audience, this is a way for people who don't really need food stamps to get them.
We've seen that happen. We've seen a lot of people who are not truly low income, people who are able to game the system,
yep,
go through this avenue, and that's very concerning.
Well, Christine, I got to tell you, I've seen so many Republicans that were involved in passing this thing and pushing it, Ryan, et cetera, that are so smug now over the fact that they passed this thing like it's a great achievement.
You're right, and that's been certainly a disappointment from our perspective here. I mean, watching some of the reaction on Capitol Hill, the thing with the Farm Bill is that support for it does not fall cleanly along partisan lines. Some of the biggest supporters for these broken Farm Bill programs are really Republicans. Big R Republicans. They talk about, you know, they come from agricultural states. They have interests, you know, that they represent, and they have to bring home the pork. They have to vote for these bloated Farm Bill programs that really fail to keep taxpayers in mind.
Yeah, we used to call it when I was in college, bringing home the bacon. According to the Wall Street Journal last Wednesday, they say that there were four senior lawmakers who really kind of put this whole thing together. Do you know who they're talking about?
Well, two in particular would be, they're probably talking about the leadership. And one of them is Chairman Frank Lucas. He's House Agricultural Committee Chairman Frank Lucas of Oklahoma.
He would be a Republican.
Mm-hmm, he is. And then on the Senate side, his counterpart is Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow. And so they and their staff put together this, you know, they married their versions of the Farm Bill that they both produced over the summer. And we see, although there are some minor differences between the two, in the big picture, these are both very bloated pieces of legislation that unfortunately lock taxpayers into bad Farm Bill policy for another 5 years.
That's right. Christine, will you stay with us through the break? I have another question or two for you.
I wish I could, but I actually have to go. I'm sorry.
That's okay. We appreciate you being with us tonight.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Bogert of SoundbiteRx.com.
Okay, we're going to do something just a little bit different tonight, folks. You know, usually it's Ted and I, and we go over a story, or perhaps two, that you can find put up on SoundbiteRx.com that evening or the following morning. But I just wanted you to know that there is a whole lot more going on than just that story or two that we cover. Let me just give you an example. Today, I've got at least 8 stories that they've put up already. The first one having to do with that malicious software program that has been instilled from Belarus. Somebody in Belarus has instilled this malicious software program in the Obamacare website. There's another story about that on SoundbiteRx.com. Tonight. There's a soundbite story about Iran's. We follow up on the story from yesterday, Iran's threats against the United States and our military. And there's another story in there about how many women are executed under Islamic law all across the Middle East. There's a story in there about how Francois Hollande is getting the royal treatment from our president because our president is so desperate for friends, even if that friend happens to be a socialist. Who's more conservative than the president? And also, did you know that there are 28 new regulations on Obamacare yet to come out, yet to complicate matters even more? That's right. You'll find that about that on SoundbiteRx.com as well. And there's lots more, and that's just today. So as I said, when you hear us do the SoundbiteRx News Minute, that's just one of the stories that we have chosen. And there's a lot more that are being put up on SoundbiteRx.com every day. So, folks, please don't forget. Take that cure for ignorance. Go to SoundbiteRx.com. It really is good medicine. We'll be right back.
This is Patricia Summerlin. When I'm in Central Florida, I like to snuggle with three sexy humps. Christopher Hart, Nostra Dennis, and Lair Adams. Ooh, the American adversaries, these guys, stimulate my brain.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we'll be with you here until 6 o'clock, at which time you can catch Investor's Edge and get the wrap on that market bump-up today from Gary Kaltbaum. He'll tell you what's going on. If anybody can, Gary Kaltbaum can. And don't forget, folks, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3333. And we're so proud to have him on board as a sponsor. And once again, folks, if you'd like to be an advertiser or a sponsor on our show, please contact us directly by emailing me at chrishart@americanadversariesradio.com. And we also have another great sponsor, and that would be Ed. And you know the product, folks. I'm talking about Roxy Pacifics. And you know what? I feel like giving a couple of bottles of Roxy Pacifics away today. Yeah, it'll be on the rocks. That's right, folks. And don't forget to listen in later on when Larry gives you some more testimonials about Roxy Pacifics. Great new all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory. Each and every one of you needs to do yourself a favor and put some of this in your medicine cabinet so that you have it there for those everyday needs. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X.net. And the first two callers at 407-774-8255 right now, we will give away a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics. The only rule is you cannot have won a free bottle before. So first two callers, 407-774-8255, get a free bottle. And if you'd like to be a part of the show, you can use that same phone number as well. And that was a great interview once again with Christine. I wish she could have been with us a little bit longer because there was one part of the farm bill that I found of particular interest, and I wanted to see if this held through the committee, and that is the legalization of hemp cultivation. We talked a little bit about this on our show Sunday night. Hemp is a cousin of marijuana. Technically speaking, it is marijuana, but it has an extremely low concentration of the stuff that gives you the buzz. That's THC or tetrahydrocannabinol. In typical marijuana that people buy to get high on, it has about 10% or more of THC, depending on the quality that you get. With hemp, it has a concentration, according to the Farm Bill, it could be no more than 0.3%. What hemp is used for, it was used all throughout our history until about 1950, mm-hmm. when the discovery of plastics and polymers and stuff like that comes from oil, petroleum products. Once we started using nylon and things like that, hemp was no longer used. And in 1970, under the Controlled Substances Act, it, along with its potent cousin,
sure.
was considered to be a type 1 schedule narcotic, even though you can't get high on the stuff. And that being the case, no one could even approach it in terms of research. And the same goes true with the stuff you get high on. That's why there is very little data, actually, on whether what effectiveness it would have as a medical treatment, because very little research has actually been able to be done on it since 1970. But until 1950, and including our founding fathers, George Washington grew hemp, because back in that day, they made paper out of it, they made rope out of it, they made clothes out of it.
The Constitution's written on it?
Exactly is. And as a matter of fact, currency, rumor has it, our present-day currency has hemp in it, because it's a very strong fiber.
Yeah.
Good like cotton. I mean, the reason we use a lot of cotton, it makes great clothes.
It makes great rope, too.
And you can buy hemp products in this country now, you just couldn't make them or grow the hemp to make them. For instance, carpet that comes from Canada is probably woven with hemp fibers. But in this farm bill, what the farm bill did was evidently allow states who would allow it in their states, and Kentucky is one, mm-hmm. California is another one who's already doing this. In Kentucky, at the behest of Senator Mitch McConnell, longtime conservative Republican, he wanted this done because it's a great farm product. And it can be used to make a lot of things. As a matter of fact, parachute cord in World War I and World War II were made out of hemp fiber because it is so very strong and it's very effective. And you want to talk about renewable? It is renewable. And renewable as well are our great listeners. And I want to congratulate Larry. You better read
Melissa
those.
From Orlando and Jamie from Oviedo.
All
both
right.
are going to receive bottles of Roxy Pacifics.
All right. And that, of course, is on the rocks. Our great dear friend Ed Rock. Over at Roxy Pacifics.
And reminder, folks, when you do order Roxy Pacifics, remember the price you pay, that includes shipping. It gets right to your door.
That's right. Shipping and handling. So, if, for instance, you order the $15 bottle, the one-ounce bottle, that's all it costs you, $15. And, of course, it's not going to cost Melissa or Jamie anything because they have got it free. Country on the Rocks. And don't forget, folks, we do this every week, and we'll be may do it again this week. Who knows? Depends on how I feel.
And they will order more. We know that.
That's right. And, well, of course, we do it every Sunday night on our Sunday night three-hour tour live here at 5 to 8 p.m. All right. We have our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, on the line with us right now. And, Nostra Dennis, I know you use that Roxy Pacific stuff a lot.
Oh, I do. And, guys, it works wonders. You will get the free one, and you will order and reorder more.
It is really great stuff. We got great sponsors. You know that? All right. We also have a great executive producer, and you have got your eye on what's going on Capitol Hill.
Well, you know, the good thing is, executive producer, I can do whatever I want.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Oh, what is Nick on the phone? Nick's on the phone. Yeah. Well. Okay. Anyway, go ahead.
you can play that later. We'll let it explain itself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Here you go. Here, Nick. Can you do that? Hit that bump for us. That soundbite. Here.
All right. We're breaking protocol here. That's all right. That's a good thing about being president. I can do whatever I want.
I want to be president. I want to do whatever I want.
Yeah, the audio was not great on that clip.
No, it wasn't great. Evidently, I guess they had a change in plans or something, and that's what he was referring to, the president.
Yeah, he was with the president of France, President Hollande, and they were at, of all places, the Monticello Foundation.
Right.
They were overlooking where Thomas Jefferson loved to admire the landscape. And the president said, yeah, I'd like to take a look, too. I'm going to break protocol. And he bragged to Mr. Hollande that he can do exactly what he wants, because he's the president.
And Hollande's thinking to himself, wonder how many women he has.
yeah, because sometimes you think you can get away with it or get whatever you want, but I guess Billy Clinton did he, you know?
Well, I don't know.
He got what he wanted, but he got it caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Well, it didn't seem to hurt him not too much.
It wasn't a cookie jar, Lair.
Okay, Nostra Dennis, what's going on Capitol Hill today?
Cigar?
Right, Capitol Hill, there's a blizzard coming, and it's a blizzard of death.
Yeah.
And, the House is prepared to vote on raising the debt limit. This is what John Boehner is saying. He's saying he's going to call for a vote Tuesday night, and then they're going to scoot out of there. The legislation, of course, is not supported by any or very few Republicans. It's going to need every Democratic vote to pass and some Republican votes. So what he wants to do is pick out a couple Republicans who can vote for this bill to raise the debt limit, or actually to ignore the debt limit until March of next year, so that the Republicans don't get blamed for causing the next financial disaster.
So he just wants to get this out of the way so he can get out of town and smoke some cigarettes.
What they want to do is they want this coming election to focus on Obamacare, and they don't want anything to derail that. One Republican lawmaker, on terms of anonymity, told ABC News, we've lost the stomach for brinksmanship. Well, you know, I guess they don't want to be adversarial.
Well, that is their job, to be adversarial, you know, and they told us, a lot of the people who were saying, oh, don't shut the government down over, you know, the budget deal. Let's wait till the debt ceiling. That's when we'll have more leverage. I guess that argument went out with yesterday's garbage.
Yeah, they're throwing away that lever. And, you know, every Democrat is expected to vote for it. If I were Boehner, I would round up the dozen or two dozen that would bring it to one vote more than half. And if not every Democrat votes for it, well, then you know whose fault that is. That's Nancy Pelosi's fault.
Yeah.
Well, that is if it comes down to that. But do you think it's just not going to get any Republican support?
Oh, it'll get Republican support.
I mean, you know, beyond what, you know, the ones have been pushing it all along.
No, well, Boehner is going to have to round up a couple dozen votes just to get this thing passed and move it off his plate so they can focus on other things.
Now, right now, they're holding votes to get to the final vote. Are they going uneventfully?
Right. There are procedural and preliminary votes, and originally this vote wasn't scheduled to take place, the final vote, until tomorrow. But they decided to push everything up, run a few things by quickly, and sometime between 6:30 and 7 tonight, we should see that vote. So if you really want to watch it, can tune over to C-SPAN. They're going to have that on live.
And by the way, folks, we will be watching, of course, our Central Florida Congress people around here to see how they vote. What you want to bet that Congressman Webster is going to vote no. By the way, Congressman Daniel Webster will be live Saturday morning with Carl Jackson on the Carl Jackson Show right here on 660 AM, The Answer, at 8 o'clock AM. So if you'd like to call in on Carl Jackson's show, you'll be able to talk to Congressman Webster. But I'm going to bet he's going to vote no on this thing. And it's, you know, on the one hand, I can see the logic, and basically I kind of agreed with this logic. I think it was a week or so ago when I said an article by Hugh Hewitt said, don't do anything quietly. You know, give him a debt ceiling increase and just take this to the electorate in the fall. And so I can kind of see some strategy to this. The unfortunate thing is this isn't what we were being told all along. This is a last minute change. And those things always make me uncomfortable.
Right, they zigged when we expected them to zag, and he's going to have to find, Boehner will need to find 18 Republicans willing to hold their nose and put their signature on this measure.
Well, what you want to bet, he finds everyone he needs and then some. No, they'll push this thing through.
And, I'm inclined to agree.
The debt ceiling will go up until next March. I wouldn't have raised it that much, even if I went along with Hugh Hewitt's strategy, which I endorsed. I would have raised it through November. Or, you know, December at the latest. I would want it to be an issue in next year's election.
Sure, this way they have, day before election day.
This way they've pretty much taken it off the table, not only for now, but for this coming election. And I don't see the strategy.
Just
in that.
Like Obama wants to do with Obamacare.
Yeah. What? If they can keep the heat on the president, then you know. But it's nonetheless another give in to the trajectory that this country is on, and that is to amass massive amounts of debt that we will pass on to our following generations, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, if something isn't done about it in the meanwhile. So I'm sure, whether Boehner meant it or not, he has now made this an issue in the Republican primary, more so probably than the doggone general election.
He has. And, you know, to paraphrase an episode of Seinfeld, the Republicans in the House have the upper hand, and they're going to need all the hand they can get.
All right, Nostradamus, I'd like you to hang on for this last segment. I know you have another story update we'll get to when we come back from the break.
All right, now, folks, I want you to get out your pencils right now or go ahead and plug this number into your telephone. It's the phone number is actually 619-654-4829. That is the phone number for Roxy Pacifics. Or email at Roxy, R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics, P-A-C-I-F-I-X .net. Write those numbers down or those letters for the email down because you are going to want to order it. Yesterday, we talked on the air about Bill in Santee, California. Now, this gentleman is 80 years old. The poor guy has Agent Orange sores. He said the Roxy helps the sores heal so quickly, like nothing else that he's used before. And it goes on and on. So many other you know, people here saying that they just love the product. They use it for one talked about pink eye, also acne. And we've had several people tell us that it has worked on certain forms of acne. And psoriasis, et cetera. It's for your skin, but I've told people I've also used it for my throat. If I get a sore throat or whatever, you just gargle with it. It's a wonderful product. Again, it's Roxy Pacifics. You're going to want some yourself. 619-654-4829. If you want to call in, again, shipping is free.
We'll be right back.
It's political, professional wrestling at its finest. The American Adversaries.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. We are the American Adversaries Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And we've got our executive producer, Nostradamus, on the line with us right now. But I just want to preview tomorrow night's show real quickly with you. Nostradamus is lined up Brian Blair, who's actually coming over from his home in the Tampa area, to sit in the studios with us. And then we're going to go all head over to Cafe Positano afterwards and chow down on some great Italian food. And we're also going to have Ed and Mary Ganster come in, and they'll give us an update update on their upcoming banquet. That's OperationSafety91.com, OS91.com. We're also going to introduce you to Aubrey Kahn, who is a new sponsor of our show. He's with Firm Foundations Home Inspections. And if you're buying or selling a home, or if you pay for your own homeowner's insurance, which if you own your home, you do, you need to be talking to this guy because he can help you in buying and selling that home, or he can help you perhaps save money on your homeowner's insurance. And he's going to tell us all about that and a lot more tomorrow night. And that'll be Aubrey Kahn, and we'll be formally introducing him to you as a new sponsor of our show. But there's no introduction needed for this guy that we have on the line with us, of course, our producer, Nostra Dennis. Nostra Dennis, any other updates on that vote going on right now in the House before we move on?
Only that it's not going to start until we get off the air. They wanted to make sure of that so that we wouldn't have anything to say about it.
You know, I've often wondered if they listen to our show and they just plan everything around us because, hey, we tear them up.
Yeah, somebody's out there listening. And by the way, Nostra Dennis, you have in the past tried to get a hold of council people to be on our show, and you'll be trying again, of course, with this sales tax. But once again, you live in Seminole County. Any way you're going to vote yes on that thing?
Well, you know what? I am definitely going to the polls to vote. I'm going to vote against it, but my mission is going to be to get people the information that they can go out and vote. They want to vote for it, that's fine. At least find out what it's all about.
Yeah, see, that's what I don't like about this, is they kind of seem to be trying to do it on the sly, if you will, for lack of a better word, you know, with as little of notice as possible, as little of publicity as possible. And I don't like that. This is it's a major tax increase.
It is.
It sounds like a small a penny, but it's actually a major tax increase.
Major tax increase brought forward by five Republicans.
Well, at least they're pushing it through.
Yes.
Anyway. Okay, so we'll be keeping our eyes on that. Nostra Dennis, there was, however, you know, I mentioned Ed and Mary Ganster, great friends of ours with Operation Safety 91, OS91.com, and Mary texted me earlier, and her heart is just broken. I mean, these people really seriously love what they do. They love these first responders, and whenever they hear something like what happened here in Orange County this morning or last night, it really tugs at their heart, as it should all of our hearts, because it is a very, very, very tragic story. Can you fill us in on what happened exactly to Orange County Deputy Scott Pine?
Sure. We lost a good one last night. 34-year-old Pine attempted to question a 28-year-old suspect, Benjamin Holterman, about a possible auto theft. Holterman shot Pine. It was not clear whether there was an altercation before the shooting, but Holterman escaped from the scene. Later, though, Holterman was found dead of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. They brought Pine to the hospital and made valiant efforts to try to save him at ORMC, but unfortunately he died early Tuesday morning at the hospital.
And he was a young fella, 34 years old, I believe.
He was married, had three kids.
Three young children. And they are now without their father, and because he's out there, you know, trying to protect the streets that we live on. And so we need to show our appreciation. I'd like you folks out there who pray to pray for this deputy and his family and for all of those who are still out there putting their lives in harm's way for us every night.
And guys, this is a scary part of this story. This is in a gated community this happened. Community called Westminster Landing. It's off a Florida Turnpike near Apopka Vineland. It's a nice neighborhood. The houses range from $400,000 to $800,000. So you think, oh, well, you know, shootings, they happen in certain neighborhoods. They happen in good neighborhoods, too, sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah, one can only wonder, you know, obviously the guy was after some high-end goods that he could peddle, you know, probably drugs somewhere along the line involved in this crime. It often does a lot of times come back to that with these type of crimes.
They've also taken into custody his girlfriend, who is 18-year-old Erica Pugh, and they are facing charges in Maryland as well. They are accused of robbery up there, and there was an arrest warrant out for both of them.
Evidently on a bit of a crime spree. I presume now she'll be charged with murder, being an accomplice in this crime. She, I believe, I'd have to check with our man Jeff Dowdy, but I believe she has now opened herself to being charged with murder.
Right now it's grand theft and burglary, but they could include accessory to murder at least.
Yeah, at least. Once again, a very tragic story. Folks, you know, please keep these folks, this deputy and his family, in your prayers. And if you'd like to post something on OS91.com, I'm sure they would be happy for you to do that sort of thing. And once again, Ed and Mary will join us tomorrow. And not so much to talk about this, that wasn't the plan, but to talk about their banquet where they honor people like Deputy Scott Pine.
And folks, if you have a Bible at home tonight, just take it, open it up, go to Psalm 91, just read it out loud, and think of Officer Pine, would you?
Absolutely. All right, Noster Dennis, any other business before we let you go?
No, I'm just chuckling at the president getting caught on film. And on audio tape saying that he can do anything he wants. I think that's hilarious.
Well, in a way it is, but in a way, I think the president kind of typifies what's going on in the United States today. We got a lot of spoiled people who think that they're due everything in life just because they are. And he's just an example of that. He's president of the United States. He gets to do anything, regardless of what it causes other people in terms of pain and suffering. And it's the same thing with people who think that they're owed free medical care or free anything. Nobody's owed free nothing in this world. And for anybody or any system to incentivize people to live, as I said Sunday night, like a papoose being carried around by the rest of us, that is no good, and it is poison for our culture. So we're going to do everything we can to purge ourselves of it. Right, Noster Dennis?
Amen to that, Chris.
All right. All right.
All right, we're breaking protocol here.
I didn't say that.
That's all right. That's the good thing about being president. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, he can do whatever he wants. That's right. Okay. That's all right. Thanks a lot, Noster Dennis. We'll talk to you tomorrow night. Folks, I want to sort of wrap things up a little bit early tonight because I'm going to go out of here. Nick, please, when I finish, stop talking. You'll know what I mean. With a moment of silence for Deputy Scott Pine and others like him. It's the least, the very least we can do for these fellas. 34 years old, young family, life gone. The man who shot him, his life's gone too. So much waste. So much waste. Well, we can't stop it all, but we can certainly try. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the American Adversaries, and we're proud to be coming to you every afternoon. And thank you so very much for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow night, and don't forget to catch us on Sunday nights live from 5 to 8 o'clock. And please stick around for Gary Kultbaum, and as soon as he wraps up at 7 o'clock, you'll have Dennis Prager, then Hugh Hewitt. And don't forget, tomorrow morning, start all over with Bill Bennett and Congressman Webster on Carl Jackson's show Saturday morning. Night, everybody.
Service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative, AM 660.